Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, June 29th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Shop Plaza. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On this episode, we'll be discussing how Google is influencing the online shopping journey. Joining me today, we have Senior Analyst for Retail and E-Commerce. She's back. It's Skye Canavas. Hi, Skye.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be back today.
Thanks for being here. We also have Principal Analyst of Technology, Yori Wormser. Welcome, Yori.
Hey, Sarah. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. All right, let's jump right in. So we're talking about the power of Google, but first I'm going to kick it off with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give you the news and our guests tell me their reviews. So today's headline comes to us from CNBC. It's about the metaverse. The headline is Lowe's expands into the metaverse with a tool to help visualize projects. Skye, your review of Lowe's expanding into the metaverse in 60 seconds is?
So this is an interesting new experiment in what seems like a nonstop frenzy of brands doing new things and trying to be creative with metaverse activations. It's making about 500 3D product assets available for download via its own asset hub. And it's also issuing NFTs, which are going to be for free, that can be used in the metaverse platform Decentraland. I think for Lowe's, I really see a better opportunity for them in this kind of technology in kind of 3D interior and exterior design tools that are really more tied to what Lowe's customers are doing. They have things like tools that can measure your space with your iPhone camera or AR tools that allow you to place products in spaces, but they're still pretty limited in so far as how many products actually are using these tools on their app. So expanding that, I think, would be more relevant for customers.
Yeah, I get that. I want to see how my Lowe's dresser will look in my home, not in my metaverse home.
Exactly.
Yori, your review of Lowe's expanding into the metaverse in 60 seconds is?
I agree with Skye that the 3D visualization of your own space is probably higher impact for their customers, but I think this is a great move by Lowe's. It's kind of a minor move in the sense that there's not a lot of investment behind it. They already have the 3D images of their products for their augmented reality tools. So they don't have to create those images and those 3D visualizations. They're just sort of spreading those assets, those visual assets, to Decentraland and some other metaverse platforms. And I think it gives them great practice and a way to experiment with those platforms for when people actually start using them. I mean, it's still super early for the metaverse, if it even takes off. But this gives Lowe's some practice in that area and lets them see how customers are using it.
Yeah, I guess at a minimum, if it's not costing Lowe's much, it's a way to get their name in the headlines in relation to the metaverse. So
that too.
Yeah, and this was one of our key recommendations in our metaverse report that we put out recently, looking specifically at what brands and retailers should be doing in the metaverse. It's really setting aside some budget to test and learn and experiment and get familiar with what all of this means, because we don't really have a functioning metaverse now, like what we might have in 10 or 20 years. But it's really starting to take those baby steps to prepare for that.
That makes sense. So we're going to be talking about testing and learning, not in relation to the metaverse, but in relation to Google. It's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today, we're talking about Google Shopping and how it's influencing the e-commerce journey. So Google Shopping features have been around for years. I don't actually remember using them until recently. That doesn't mean I haven't used them, but I have no memory of interacting with them. Can you tell me more, Skye, about Google's history as a retail tool?
Yeah, and Yori might be able to share a little more with his experience covering Google for a longer time. But they've certainly been involved in retail and e-commerce for a long time, or tried to be, through previous initiatives. Like, they had a price comparison engine that was very early, but had kind of a cult following called Frugal. And then they also tried being a marketplace with Google Express. And they've tried to take those steps to compete with Amazon as kind of a retail marketplace. And none of that ever really took off or gained traction.
I'm glad you mentioned Frugal, because that was a fun experiment. Not experiment, but an actual product maybe 10 years ago. It's kind of fun to use back then. But I mean, if you think about Google, the search engine, I mean, right from the get-go in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was about finding stuff. So it's always been about shopping, and they've just been adding layers onto it and trying to become more of a hub where it's not just like when you already know what you're looking for, but to try to give you sort of more richer tools behind it and added products behind it. So it really goes back to the beginning of Google, where they're about shopping.
And the latest iteration is literally Google Shopping. Mm-hmm. And it was first launched in 2019 as a paid platform really for merchants to advertise on. But it also failed to get much traction because it was all just advertisements and people don't shop because they want to look at advertisements or they don't search to look for advertisements. So in early 2020, there were only about 4,000 active merchants who were using this. That was according to Marketplace Pulse's research. Then in April 2020, Google announced that it was scrapping the paid listings on Google Shopping and made the platform free to use for all merchants. And since then, they've really like introduced a ton of new features. It seems like nonstop. They're introducing new features to enhance the shopping experience for on both sides, for both the retailers and brands and consumers, and that aim to really make the most of Google's strengths across, you know, things like search, video, and mapping, and voice, and everything to connect merchants and consumers and drive sales. And that's whether they happen either online or offline.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we're going to talk more about what some of those specific tools are in the second half of this episode. I want to learn more about the consumer experience on Google. So according to a Morgan Stanley survey from April of this year, 60% of consumers start their online shopping journey on Google. 59% of Amazon Prime subscribers specifically start their shopping journey not on Amazon, but on Google. These numbers have been increasing also. They're up from 57% for overall consumers and 56% for Amazon Prime shoppers as recently as November. So that's way over half of consumers that are starting their shopping journey on Google. Can you tell me more about what shoppers have to gain from starting on Google as opposed to starting on Amazon Prime?
So I think a couple of things that have happened in the last couple of years have kind of shifted consumers or shoppers more towards Google. One was just the pandemic has made it harder to find things. We've faced supply chain challenges for more than 2 years now, starting from the very early days of the pandemic when people needed to find face masks or cleaning supplies and toilet paper, to holiday seasons where it's been hard to find like the hottest toys and gifts, and more recently to the very unfortunate shortages of baby formula. So consumers are having to cast a wider net to find what they're looking for. So I think by now they know they might not always find it on Amazon, and it might not always be at the lowest price on Amazon. Now with inflation on the rise, consumers are also becoming more price sensitive, so they might want to make use of some of the tools that Google offers to compare prices across retailers and see who has the best deals. And now I think we're preparing for a retail inventory surplus in certain categories, and retailers are planning to heavily discount certain product categories that they overstocked. So I think Google Shopping tools, again, will come in handy to find out where the best deals are.
You're completely right in that. The big factor during the pandemic was you wanted to know either where to get something, but also not just online, but physically. That's what differentiates Google from Amazon, is you can not just find online deals, but find where you can find it nearby. And I think that is one reason that people go to Google first. You have the whole universe of shopping, not just Amazon's platform or the online platform.
And then you can see on the map exactly where physically a product is located. You can see which stores, which one is the closest to you. And now, especially with gas prices getting higher and higher, people might not want to drive very far. So Google makes that a lot more convenient to find goods and where they might be located.
So that makes sense. It's e-commerce, but it's also, I mean, integrating e-commerce with in-store commerce. That's something that Google can do with a lot more stores than Amazon. What should a retailer's approach then be to using Google? Should they be listing on just Amazon, on just Google? What's the best approach?
I think for retailers and brands now, it's kind of a no-brainer to list on Google, because to share product listings on Google, because it's free to use on Google Shopping. There are advertisements that appear on Google Shopping tab at the top and bottom of the page, but otherwise the rest is organic search results. And Google has integrations with platforms like Shopify and BigCommerce and WooCommerce that allow merchants who use those platforms to very easily, you know, share their entire product catalogs on Google and have them updated.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for, it just a sky set to use Google. No retailer wants to be on Amazon because they're a direct competitor. They have to be on Amazon, or some of them have to be on Amazon, and some brands have to be on Amazon because that's where a lot of their customers are. But if they, so they probably, you know, they need to be on both, or some of them need to be on both, but they definitely would prefer to be on Google.
So yeah, Amazon takes a cut. Google's free. Google also, it's not overrun with ads like maybe it used to be. There's ads at the top, but a lot of it is just plain listings. So what does Google have to gain then if they're not making money from taking a cut, or overwhelmingly from those ads on Google Shopping specifically?
I think they're still aiming to drive ad business across Google, particularly on search, because Google will, for search, which is Google's most popular product, Google does use its AI, or it uses machine learning to determine which search queries will have a higher purchase intent. So while I was preparing for this podcast, I came across this tweet from a New York Times tech reporter, and he was very surprised that his Google search for the term hearing aid, I think it was on behalf of his dad, turned up a ton of ads and shopping results. And I think that's because his term is really more likely to be correlated with someone who's looking to purchase a hearing aid, as opposed to a query like, how do hearing aids work? That question would not turn up ads and shopping-related results.
That makes so much sense. That's really smart.
Yeah. And so Google has all of this data, and it will encourage brands and retailers to then advertise with Google, not just to get in front of consumers, but also to gain access to that data and gain insights.
Yeah, Google's makes most of its money, the vast majority of its money, on advertising, and not just on search, although it makes most of its advertising dollars on search, but also on YouTube, also within Maps, a little bit within Waze. All that data they're collecting helps their advertising business, and, you know, gives them content for the advertising.
That also makes sense. I just pulled this up because I was curious. It looks like, according to our forecast, Google's search ad revenues were around $35 billion in 2020. And this year, they're supposed to be up to $55.5 billion. So a huge increase there. Comparing that to Amazon search ad revenues, this is for the US, they were at $11.6 billion in 2020 and will be up to $22 billion this year. So similarly, huge increase, but not really rivaling those massive Google search numbers.
Yeah. At the same time, I think Amazon's growth as an advertising powerhouse, especially over the last couple of years, has eaten a little into Google's dominance and certainly put Google on high alert that they need to up their retail and commerce game to compete with Amazon for those retailer advertising dollars.
Sure, that makes sense. So we've talked in this first half through how Google became a player in the retail e-commerce journey. We've discussed how a shopper enters into that Google Shopping ecosystem and how they can remain in there or head to a store. We've also discussed the symbiotic relationship between Google and retailers. After the break, Yori and Sky are going to talk me through some of the new features Google has recently rolled out. So I'll meet you back here to talk about that after a quick word from our sponsor, Shop Plaza. Your sassiest friend, e-commerce pal, and business bud. Shop Plaza keeps it real, keeps it simple, and keeps it all on a single platform. So no matter where you are, what you're selling, or what your business size, you can tech your business to the next level. Whether you are looking to grow your business, gain an amazing solution, or become a partner, go to shopplaza.com. That's shopplaza.com to learn more. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. This week, Sky and Yori are ranking Google Shopping features. So they're going to walk me through Google Shopping's top three winning features, and they're also going to tell me about one that they expect to fizzle out. Let's start with the wins. Yori, can you give me a Google Shopping top three winning feature?
I think multi-search, which they rolled out recently, is going to be a win. So that lets users refine a search they've started in text, let's say, refine it with an image or with voice, vice versa. So they can do a lens search and then refine it with text. An example would be taking a picture of a boot and then saying, I want it in white. Can you show me white? So it'll show you the same boot in a different color. Just lets you refine a search progressively using different types of media that Google has, or the same. You know, you can just keep continuously refine. And I think when you're doing a search and going through a shopping journey, those refinements are what it's all about. So I think multi-search is going to be a big win for them. And not only that, it lets them get ready for augmented reality, or lets them develop their augmented reality a little bit, since that's what you're going to be doing in augmented reality as well.
So if I see someone wearing a dress that I want, I can take a picture of what they're wearing and I can say, give me this, but in a different size?
Yeah, I mean, you might get arrested for it, but yeah.
If I see a friend wearing a dress that I want,
would be okay.
If I've asked permission,
ask.
Honestly, maybe a good point, though. I mean, who's to stop me? I'm not going to do that, but interesting concern there. All right. So multi-search and also that lens, that image search is a top Google feature. Can you give me another top Google feature, part of our top three Google Shopping features?
So I really like the pricing features that have been rolled out. One of them in particular is a pricing graph that shows trends for a product over a period of time, and it shows where a particular retailer's offer stands and stacks up compared to others. And this is really a move towards greater pricing transparency for that benefits consumers. I think we know, like, a platform like Amazon engages in dynamic pricing where its prices can change like hundreds of times a day. And that can be very frustrating for consumers who are looking for good deals more and more nowadays. And they have a lot of other related features. You can filter how, you know, the prices, price ranges that you're interested in. Google Shopping also allows retailers to put stickers on their listings that show like special deals or offers that they have going. And it will also flag low prices and allows shoppers to compare prices across retailers.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like Google's for a long time had that with flights, right? I can see that the flights were $200 cheaper yesterday, and maybe they're headed up, maybe they're headed down. I think that that's a great feature to have for things in retail as well.
It's kind of like a next level frugal too, and that's sort of a next generation. So I've got a soft spot for it already.
When was frugal? I don't remember frugal.
It was a long time ago. I don't know, at least a decade ago, I think.
Frugal might have been before my shopping time. I was shopping a decade ago, to be clear. But yeah, I might have missed frugal. All right, so we've talked about multi-search. We've talked about price comparison. Yori, can you give me your last top three recent Google Shopping feature?
Well, I mean, just the integration with Maps. Maps has always had a shopping element to it. If you're driving, there are advertising options on Maps where you can see nearby, let's say, quick service restaurants or shops. You can see where items are available nearby. It's turning more into a discovery platform. I'm not sure where that's going to go, but yeah, I think Google Maps is the integration with Google Shopping is going to be important.
And it's also becoming more personalized. For example, if Google knows that you like to drink coffee in the morning, it might show you nearby coffee places earlier in the day and then show you other types of restaurants that you might be interested in later in the day.
Yeah, this is how I use Google Maps every time I'm in Manhattan. Like when I'm at our office in Times Square, I have no idea what's over there and I always need to go to the pharmacy. So this is always how I use it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Google Maps, there's such potential there. I know Google has for a long time tried to boost the advertising in it, tried to boost the functionality of it. It's just a lot of potential there.
Sure. I mean, it's definitely an interesting entry point into advertising specifically. All right. So we've talked about three Google Shopping features that we think have a lot of strength. What is a Google Shopping feature that's been rolled out recently you think might fizzle out or you don't have a lot of faith in?
So Google is introducing browsable shopping ads on searches for fashion items. And these are really a push towards making shopping ads more content rich, adding video, product reviews, and so on. And they can be scrolled through instead of just turning up a lot of text that's the typical Google search result, but making them more visual and more shoppable. And I think this is part of a bigger drive towards making Google search and Google shopping basically more of a platform for discovery as opposed to just finding specific products that you're looking for. And that's a bigger challenge because people don't really think of Google as like a great place to shop for clothes or like browse for what's in fashion, just like they don't turn to Amazon for those reasons. They're definitely facing a lot more competition from the likes of, for example, TikTok as a discovery platform, especially among young consumers. And that's going to be their big challenge.
Google has always been kind of on the lower end of the funnel. So this is an effort to get right at the, you know, the top. And just what Sky said, though, it's going to be a challenge changing that consumer behavior to look through these ads and browse and, move up on that funnel.
Yeah, I read an article that referred to this as the Pinterestification of Google, making Google something that I want to browse through. I don't feel that way about Google right now. It feels cluttered to me. I think that that's always been a benefit of Google search, right? I feel like it's really information forward. It's not, I don't spend my time browsing through Google search though, so I don't really expect to spend my time browsing through Google shopping images either.
Especially when they're ads.
Especially when they're ads, which is how I feel in Google search a lot of the time. This, I guess, is my pitch for Google to bring in an I'm feeling lucky for shopping, where I just buy the first thing.
Hopefully at a good price.
You heard it here first, Google. This is my winning pitch. All right. Well, thank you for running me through all of those features, our three wins of multi-search, maps, and price comparison, and the one that might fizzle, the browsable shopping. Listeners, you can keep an eye out for Yori's report on the power of Alphabet, which will be out for pro subscribers to insiderintelligence.com later this summer. Thank you for joining me, Yori.
Great to be here.
And thank you, Sky.
Thanks for having me again.
Fun as always. Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast, and who I know will be on board for my I'm feeling lucky idea. I'll be back next week on another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Shop Plaza. We'll be talking about retail holidays. You can also tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast. Thanks.